Listen, the holidays are kind of wrapping up. I know there's New Year's, but I'm not a prophet, but I will say we're probably all in the same boat, that anybody in here feels like you're on a sugar load, that you just feel like you ate too much in the last few weeks. You feel lethargic, that coffee is not enough for this morning. You wake up and there's messes, and it's interesting, this week, the next few weeks, as you drive around neighborhoods, you can count how many Christmas trees are actually on the street, or how many people are taking down Christmas trees. If it was my wish, mine would be up only until April or May. It's interesting as we go through this, but we have this almost sad feeling because it builds up. As we go from Thanksgiving into the holidays, it kind of builds up, especially this year when everything was compressed and it was super fast. Wasn't it just, it felt like a short amount of time in between holidays and buying gifts and being with people and family. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it wraps up and it's over, and it's like, you have this feeling like, almost like, now what? Some people have work to do. Some people are off from school. Some people got back into it right away. Some people didn't even take hardly any time off. But no matter how you look at it, most of us feel like we need to buy bigger pants. Amen? Most of us feel like you should have wore your stretch pants today to church. But no matter how you look at it, sometimes we feel sad because it feels like it's over. But here's my promise to you. If you read Scripture, this is just Luke chapter 2 and it's just beginning. Jesus didn't come to make you feel like it's over. Jesus came to make you feel like this is just something that just started. It's interesting as we look through Scripture, even as an angel said, do not be afraid. He says, I got good news for you. Great news is coming. Jesus was the beginning. It was part of something new. When you start a race and you sprint around a track, that gun that you hear in the air is not signaling that you're done. It's signaling that something just started. And I hope for us that we realize that it's not just an end of the year. It's a start of something new. It's a start of something fresh. It's a start of something like, listen, this is something new for us. There is a change coming, and if you pray and if you are hoping, you can actually hear the winds of change coming in your own life and how that looks. Do you feel it? Do you feel the new season? Do you feel that in your own heart? There's so many people in our church even now who over this past year have started new jobs or moved locations or have done something different. But I'm here to tell you, just because you feel something new is coming, it doesn't mean you have to move or it doesn't mean you have to change jobs. Most of the time, what it means that God wants to do something new in here. That God wants to do something fresh and new in your own heart. That God wants to do something fresh and new in your own mindset and what you're doing now. It's interesting because as I look at the scripture, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I got good news. But don't you think that's kind of irony? That in scripture, even the angel has to tell us, don't be afraid. It's like me telling my kids, come here. And then I have to say right away, you're not in trouble. Right? Come over, I got to talk to you. What did I do wrong? Nothing. Don't think of the worst case. Come here really fast. I got to tell you something. I do this with my kids a lot, actually. I say, come here. And they said, what? And I just give them a hug, and that's it. It's one of those things where it's in our minds that we get called down to an office. Hey, we don't instantly think that, hey, you're getting called to your boss's office. Oh, I'm in trouble. You don't think, maybe I'm getting a raise. But you instantly think, maybe I'm in trouble. What did I do wrong? It's this whole mentality where the angel comes and says, don't be afraid. I bring you not just great news, but the best news. But it's almost like they had to start by saying, don't look at it as bad news. Don't jump the gun and think it's assume it's going to be bad news. I think that's what we need to look at today is saying in our own hearts is saying, listen, I got something for you. And here's what I want you to tell you about your year. I want to give you free freebies this morning before we jump into a couple points. One is this. You are still here. You got this. You got this because he's got you. You look at your past year. I'm going to encourage you. One of the things you should do this week, if you take a lot of pictures on your phone, When you have quiet time this week, I don't encourage this a lot, but pull out your phone and just scroll through all your pictures from this past year. Just take a few minutes and look at the pictures, look at the events, look at the faces. What happened this year? The pains. Then I want you to take a few minutes this week and just write down the great things that happened and the challenges that happened this year. Talk about the temptations, the bad mistakes, the bad news, but talk about the achievements. Think about these things, because here's the deal. No matter what you've been through, guess what? You're here. He's got you, and you got it. Just the fact I can hear my son's little squeaky voice in the sanctuary makes me pretty happy. Think about this, that we are still here. You got through all your challenges this year, and you're still here. You got your scars to prove it. You are still here. You did not get beat. You are, listen, learning, and you are a conqueror. Your past trials are your victories of faith stones, showing that you can do it, that you're still here. Listen to this. The word overcomer means to be a conqueror, to prevail, to be victorious, to subdue. The Greek word is what actually Nike uses for their brand, for their swoosh, for their Nike, which means that you are victorious. That, listen to this, spiritually, what that means is that you are on the winning team, that you are part of the team that actually wins, that you can go into the battle and know it's you won, that you can go into the greatest thing and know that you are on a winning team. And it doesn't mean that everything works out the way that you expect. It means when it's all said and done, the Lord prevails. Amen? And this is how it looks. I love this because Jesus himself overcame. 1 John says this. 1 John 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, who is that overcomes the world." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This doesn't mean past tense only. It means future. That you, right now, future. Romans 8 says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Then Jeremiah 1:19 says this, "They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Listen, this is a promised verse that you need to have in your life as you go into the new year. As you go into saying that you are more than conquerors, that for I am with you. I have overcome you. If you can go to the next slide. I love this. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from a position of victory. Think about that. It's not this is that you are fighting for your victory. Because you are the son and the daughter of a king who has, you are more than a conqueror. You are fighting from the position that it's already, the victory's already been won. It's interesting, and I know I said this before, and I'll say this again. When they were supposed to march around Jericho, Joshua and his men, look this up. He says, you march around it with your people. He says, and he goes, oh, the walls will fall down, and it's yours. Listen, a chapter before that, God gives them the plan and says, if you do this, he goes, his walls are coming down. And this is what he said. He goes, it's yours. The victory is yours. All you have to do is march it out. It's yours. This is before. This is the plan. He goes, all you got to do is march it out. So guess what they did? They marched it out. They blew the trumpets. They went crazy. Then they went silent. The walls came crashing down. And all of a sudden, you know the story. They won the battle. But here it is. God already told them that they won the battle. They just had to march it out. And I wonder how many times in our life, listen, that God says that you have the victory, we just stop marching. We just say, well, I'm going to go around it one time or maybe two times, but after that, I'm not going to keep on marching it out. I'm not going to, people say, it's just hard. I don't see the fruit of it. I don't see any kind of change. Prayer is not working. I don't see this. All the thing. And I just want to say, keep marching. Keep marching it out. It's interesting because as I listen to you people talk and share your stories and your struggles, and it's amazing to hear the transformation that begins to happen. That either you begin to lean and trust more into the Lord, or it builds up that you start wanting to feel like you got to walk away. And in these trials that we go through, I hear story after story about people who learn to lean into trusting in God and they don't even see it. All the trials this past year, all the things this past year. So here's a question, just a few different questions I have for us this morning. How to live as an overcomer? How to live this? When the lights come down, decorations come down, how to live victorious? And there's a lot of answers to this. I'm just going to give you a few this morning. Number one is this. Remember this, if he did it before God, he can do it again. You know why reading scripture is so good? Because it is one story after another story after another story of what God has done through all generations. You know what gives you hope? Hearing somebody else's testimony and story of how God came through. You know what gives hope to somebody else? Hearing your testimony and your story, what God brought you through, would be shared to somebody else. It's amazing in our own life when we share stories of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. What it does is encourage faithfulness and goodness to be recognized in somebody else's life. As we read scripture, we read how God has been faithful through all generations, that God love endures, how even people just trust in the Lord and people do this. And we begin to remember, God, if you did this for Moses, if you did this for Mary, God, if you did this for Elijah, if you did this for Joshua, if you did this for Paul and Silas, you can do this for me. Lord, if you did this for them, why can't you do this for me? You start seeing God's faithfulness. And you start seeing it like, and in your own life, you start recognizing, taste and see that God has been good. And then you begin to realize this, that it's never a question like Jesus ever quits on you. One of the things I realized in my short little life so far is this. It's not that God turns his back on me. It's I'm typically the one that turns my back on him. It's not that I'm the one, he's not the one who quits on me. It's that I'm the one who quits on my journey with him. In our own lives, we make these choices of saying, listen, we're just saying, I don't know if I can do this. Isaiah 41:10 says this, don't be afraid. We hear it again. For I am with you. That's the promise. He goes, I'm with you. Don't tremble with fear. I am your God. I will make you strong as I protect you with my arm and give you victories. Anybody think that is one of the most powerful things? I'm going to say this again. And I just want to pray this over your life as we think about this. Do not be afraid. God says, I am with you. Don't tremble with fear. I am your God. I will make you strong as I protect you with my arm and give you the victories. I'm giving you victories. So here's the promise. He's not done with you yet. Number two, we need to focus on the truth and not fear. And I'm going to talk about this more in the next few weeks. Sometimes what I think we do, though, is we start believing lies that are not true. We start thinking about worst-case scenarios. Let me put in this perspective. When I was a kid, of course, I was afraid of the dark. Anybody else afraid of the dark when they're a kid? Or even now, still afraid of the dark? It's amazing because when you're in dark places, or if you've ever been to a big building and you're the last one to shut off all the lights in the building, don't you walk a little bit faster when you shut the lights off? Is that anybody else or just me? Like, and you always say, I'm not scared, but you're. It's interesting because when you feel alone and you feel, when you feel alone and you feel vulnerable, sometimes your mind goes a little bit more crazier than it usually does. When you're by yourself at night in a dark house, you start having thoughts you wouldn't typically have when somebody else is with you. And it's interesting because it's not that these thoughts are truth. It's just based upon more what-ifs, because then all of a sudden this fear steps in, and then you start going down this rabbit trail. Well, all of a sudden you go from like, well, did I leave the door unlocked? Well, if someone's going to break into my house, I'm not going to go through the front door anyway. Then if this is all the lights off and is my security system on, is this on? Then you start checking. Then you're like, well, if I leave all the TVs on, then the next thing you know, you're going to bed at 2 a.m. with all the lights in your whole house on. You know what I'm saying? All stuff. Because you go from one thing to another thing to another thing. And because your mind is now racing, built upon fear, going towards the next thing. I believe we do the same spiritually too. We start putting this fear in our spiritual lives, and we almost start believing that God is out to get us, like God is out to harm us. And we start thinking these things like what we did wrong, and God is, this is the thing that was going to happen. Now listen, I do believe there's, of course, this judgment, or, you know what I'm saying, there's things we're going to look at. But it's interesting how fear steps in. And when fear steps in, it begins to push faith out. Now hear me out. It's hard to live with fear and faith, because it's hard to live in those same areas, because either you're going to make decisions based upon fears, or you're going to make decisions based upon faith. And this whole thing, because the mentality of it is you start questioning, what's truth? What does God say? What is God saying about this? You ever think, well, God's not saying everything about everything. There's a lot of answers in Scripture. What is God saying about this? What is people who are spiritual in your life that you look up to saying about this? What would you tell your kids? Because isn't that funny? You know, we sometimes don't live the way that we want our kids. You know what I'm saying? Don't fear this, but I got a lot of fears. And so what does it say about your situation? And number three is this. This is what I want to dive into a few minutes here. We need to walk by faith and not by fear. And I know this is a tagline that we say all the time, like, walk by faith. Don't live in fear. Walk by faith. But here's the deal. Fearful is what you feel, but love is who you are by God. And when we live in fear and we make decisions in fear, we begin to push faith out. So I want you to ask some questions for you. When you look back on 2019, everybody just think about it for a second. When you look at 2019, and then decisions that you made this year, good or bad, the decisions you made this year, were those decisions made out of faith, or were they made out of fear? The decisions you made, were they made out of fear or made out of faith? Were they points that you said, God, I'm going to trust you? Now listen, I do believe sometimes when you take a faith step, it is scary. Now, there's a big difference here. Well, what are you saying? What is fear then? Fear is when we make decisions based off our insecurities, based off our loneliness, based off comparison to somebody else. Well, I'm going to get this outfit now because that person has it. I got to buy this car because somebody else has it. We base these fears. We make decisions based on fears. And it makes me wonder how many times we made decisions based upon faith. God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to give this. I don't know where my supply is going to come from, but you told me to give. I'm going to give this. God, I'm going to step out of faith here. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for this person. I'm not. That sounds weird, but if you want me to, I'll go do it. But how many times we decide not to do it because of fear? How many times did we decide not to make a phone call this year because of fear of rejection, when God has encouraged us to do it out of faith? It's interesting because I just want to encourage you, every time we take a step of faith, it encourages us spiritually. So here's the problem. Fear gets in the way. Our natural tendency is to pull back when God wants us to step out. Fear wants us to hide when God wants us to be honest. Fear wants us to stay in the boat when faith wants us to walk on the water. Fear wants us to run from something when faith wants us to run towards someone. 1 John 4:18 says this, "For there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." Another way to look at it, perfect love expels fear. It casts out fear. So for 2020, as you dream this week, we need to be living and making steps saying, how can I make dreams and decisions based upon faith and not fear? It's interesting because I think we allow fear to define us, to become our identity, to become who we think we are. 2 Timothy says this, 1:17 says, "For God has not given you us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind." God does not lead us out of fear, but he leads us by faith. Fear is not the, I want you to hear this, fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is actually faith in the wrong things. Fear is placing your faith into like the what ifs. And it makes me interested. What's interesting about this is that because we make so many fear-based decisions and not enough faith-based decisions, a lot of these decisions, hear me out, is based upon how we feel. Listen, the culture will tell you all day long, do what feels right. If it feels right, just do it. And I'm like, one, can I be honest? That's not scripture. That's over and over and over again. Even Paul was talking about die to yourself. Can I just tell you what doesn't feel good? Dying to yourself. You know what doesn't feel good? Surrendering what you want. You know what doesn't feel good? Facing rejection. You know what doesn't feel good? Stepping on faith sometimes. It's interesting because people say, well, just do what feels good. Listen. If we lived a life as Christians that we only did what we felt like we should do because it feels good, there's not a lot we would be doing that's kingdom-minded. When Jesus came, it became this anti. One of the things I tell my kids all the time, don't make decisions based upon feelings, but listen to this. Good decisions do bring good feelings. When we do something that we know God has called us to do, it will bring a good feeling. But it doesn't mean you got to make a decision based upon your feeling. We make decisions not because it feels good. We make decisions because it's truth and it's what God says. Amen? We need to walk in faith. Listen, I don't want to be known as a guy who walks in fear. I want to be known as a person who walks in faith. Can I get the worship team up here? As I look at this, I think a lot about, does fear define me or does faith define me? When you look at your own life right now, what's defining your actions? Fear or faith? How would your life be different? Hear me out. If the decisions that you made from today on were based solely upon your faith in Jesus Christ. Questions like this. Is this going to help my walk with Jesus Christ? I think more people need to ask that question. Is me doing this, and it might seem simple, but is me doing this going to help my spiritual walk with Jesus Christ? Is this going to help me grow in my faith? Is this going to help me do this? What would your life look like if you trusted more and you lived in faith more and not in fear as much? What if your faith was bigger than your fears? What if you decided today to choose to live by faith over fear? That you said, I'm going to choose today faith and not fear. It's interesting. It says this. It says, we don't get stronger faith by avoiding fears. We get stronger faith by stepping out in spite of fears. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And I want to go back up to Isaiah. It says this. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't tremble with fear. I am with your God. I am your God. I will make you strong as I protect you with my arm and give you victories. Everybody stand up this morning. I'm going to pray this over you this morning. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Scripture says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't tremble in fear, for I am your God. I will make you strong as I protect you with my arm, and I will give you victories. Everybody look up here. I feel like I need to challenge you, some of you. I do understand. Listen, I'm not going to be naive. I do believe, of course, stress and everything else. Some people struggle more with the fear of unknown, anxiety and different things. I get it. But I do want to share this with you. God is bigger than our fears. God is bigger than our fears. We live in this what-if game a lot. Well, what if this happens? Or what if my kids get sick? Or, you know what I'm saying? What if I lose my job? Or what if, all these worst-case scenarios? And then are we going these rabbit trails of just worst-case scenarios? And once you start going down one, you get stuck, and you're just kind of going through. Listen. My challenge for you this year is, you can still live in what if, but what if we live in what if in faith? What if God does come through? What if one of the games we always play with my kids, Jane, my wife is really good at this, my kids get stressed out, we always say, let's play what if worst case scenario, and we go through all the scenarios. At the very end, we say, it still works out. You're still here. We're still together. God is still good, amen? No matter what. You've been through worse or you've been through other things and you're still here. God has not left you yet. The biggest promise in that verse is not that you're going to have victories, but God says, I am with you. You know what you can promise about 2020? That God's going to be with you when you go down in 2020 like he was with you in 2019. You go into that year going, listen, I've got victories coming because he's with me. Not because I'm great, because he's great. Not because I'm supernatural, because he is. Listen, you're super, but he's supernatural. And he says, listen, 2020 is going to be epic because he's with you. That's the promise. That's it. What if you lived in faith and walked in faith? What if you picked up the Bible and not just did it because it's devotions, you got to do it, but what if you picked it up, read it, and believed it, and walked it out? How would your life be different? What if when you prayed, you didn't pray some, woe is me, I hope this works out, blah, blah, blah. But what if you prayed from a position of victory and said, God, in your name, you can do mighty things. And you said that this wall in front of us is going to come down, and we're going to march and pray and see this wall come down. God, I know my kids are far from you, but Lord, I'm going to walk around their house. I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to preach. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. But Lord, give me the tenacity and the faith to walk out what I'm supposed to walk out. And this is what I believe. The reason I'm preaching so passionately because this is my own heart. I don't want to lead a church in fear. I want to lead a church in faith. I don't want to lead my family in fear. I want to lead my family in faith. I want to have a household of faith. This is what we want to do. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, he's the greatest person you'll ever meet. If you're here this morning and you want to make a decision to know Jesus, we have a few prayer people that are looking around. But if you're here this morning, you want to make a decision to follow the Lord and surrender your heart to the Lord, I just want you to just raise your hand or just look at me. I just want to pray with you.